This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Hi, Dwayne. So for Get Smart, you're the successful secret agent here. So to get into your mindset for this character, did you think of James Bond?
A little bit. I thought of James Bond. I also just thought, well, you know, here's a guy who's a pretty successful guy in what he does, but yet he has a dark side. And, you know, for me, it was just a matter, as my process is for all the movies, it's just to get really close with the director and just make sure we're on the same page. We share the same vision for the movie, same tone. You know, it was a character that I was excited to play. And physically, too, when I first started thinking about the character, how all of our characters came together, the thought of Steve Carell and myself just side by side, it's just funny, and it made me laugh from the get-go. And then it was funny on the page, and I thought, well, we got a pretty good shot making a good movie.
Okay.
Or a funny movie.
What was it like kissing Steve Carell?
It was like, you know, you ever had like a warm apple pie with that cold ice cream too, and you find that balance where you're like, ooh. It was great. Not too many men can say that. And had a nice big lip lock with Steve Carell. It was great. The length I go, the committed actor. Jake Gyllenhaal did it. Will Smith did it. I thought it was my turn to kiss a man.
Dwayne, I know you're a big fan of self-deprecating humor, so this was obviously a chance to do that with like bumping into the wall and kissing Steve. How did you approach scenes like that, and is that something you get to do in the Witch Mountain movie also?
Approaching scenes like that, you know, I love self-deprecating comedy. It's my favorite type of comedy, and I think, you know, if there's ways that we could do that and inject it in some of these movies, like those two particular scenes you mentioned, that's great. In the Witch Mountain movie, sure, there's a lot of self-deprecating comedy, too, as well. And I think, you know, if I could find, strike a balance between finding some arrogance with the characters, you know, regardless of whether he's successful or whether he doesn't have much, like in Witch Mountain, a cab driver in Las Vegas, but yet still try and find a balance of a guy who has a little bit of arrogance, but yet it's not offensive, and he's a little endearing, and he can be funny, and, you know, always try and, like, to find that balance where we can.
Hi, Dwayne.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Talk about the shooting, the final fight scene on the railroad tracks with the truck, and how much of that was you and Steve, and how much of it was...
Well, it was all me, and it was Steve's double. And, you know, that was, again, the length I go as an actor. And some guys just don't want to commit themselves. But, no, that was a lot of fun to do. And I think, you know, with a movie like this that everybody was so excited to... Everybody was so excited to come together and actually do the action, you know, and Steve, you know, those guys are committed actors, Steve and Anne Hathaway, and they did a lot of their own stunts. I think they might have done most of their own stunts. And it was great to do. You get a director who really wants to put together some great action. We had a great stunt coordinator, too, as well. And I think when you have all those elements coming together, and again, you know, I talked earlier about everybody sharing the same vision for the movie, it just in terms of the action, I think, is important, too, because there's some great action movies out there, you know, that have raised the bar, and I always talk about them from the Bond movie, the last Bond movie, to the Bourne series was tremendous. So and especially this summer, you know, this is pretty good summer with some pretty good high-quality action stuff. So you want to make some action sequences that compete.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to expound on what he said. If you could talk specifically about that fight scene, what you had to do and what, you know, was it, I mean, I know you do so much of your own stunts. Was there at any point...
I do all my own stunts, yes. I'm kidding.
Was there any point where you said, that's a little much, or, you know, just... Maybe take us through it.
No, because I felt very safe and comfortable in the environment. You know, with the stunt coordinator and his team of people around us, making sure that everything was safe. But you know, that was really a great stunt. And if you're into stunts and physicality like that as an actor. You know, you look for days like that. We were on a railroad track, and we were going 50, 60 miles an hour. We were harnessed into the SUV. and you know, having our fight scenes as a car's going that fast was not only was it challenging, but again, I think the key with that is to make sure that the actors feel safe and comfortable. And with the stunt coordinator we had and his team, we were very safe. Everybody felt comfortable. Again, we were harnessed in, buckled. We really weren't going anywhere. And you lay out the fight scene and you rehearse it a little while, and then you get on that camera car and go.
But there still is a logistical challenge of a different kind when you're fighting in a confined space like that, isn't there?
Sure. Well, the challenge is you're on a moving vehicle, and you know, number one. And then, are you talking about on top of it? Is that what you mean? Well, sure. You know, and the vehicle's moving at a really high speed, so you want to be careful. But yet, at the same time, you just want to make sure that the action is rooted in reality, and everything you play, you want to make sure that it's played in a realistic way. And then at some point too, you always want to find a balance of making people smile and making them laugh as well.
Dwayne, hi. Did you have a chance to either meet or speak with Buck Henry and Mel Brooks And also, did you watch the TV show? Probably not Syndication, since you're so young. But did you watch the show as a kid? And were you a fan of the show?
I watched the show as a kid, and I was a big fan of the show. I didn't get a chance to meet those gentlemen. I would love to have met them, too, as well. I just watched Young Frankenstein the other day, too. Werewolf. So I was a big fan of the original, and but I didn't get a chance to meet those guys. And when they first approached me with the idea about... when they first said they were going to remake Get Smart to turn it into a movie, I think immediately our reactions are, and the natural understanding reaction is like, here we go. You're messing with something that's great. You got to be careful. But the material was great. All the elements came together. It was a director who I wanted to work with for some time. I really enjoyed Pete's work in the past, and Carell, of course, I loved. And Anne Hathaway came on, and then Alan Arkin signed on, which was wonderful. So it kind of all fell together.
Can you talk a little bit, or have you ever even thought about the idea of Dwayne Johnson, secret agent, and what kind of secret agent do you think you'd make? And I have a follow-up.
Uh-oh. What kind of agent do I think I would make?
A secret agent. What kind of secret agent? Could you keep the secret?
I could keep many secrets, so I would be a phenomenal secret agent. I love secrets.
But could it be a secret? I mean, wouldn't everybody know you?
That's a great point. I would... right. I would have to go incognito, I think. What was the follow-up?
The follow-up is what are you working on now?
I got about 4 weeks left on Race to Witch Mountain, and we're shooting in Vegas. And after that, I'll be off for about a month or so, and then I'll do a big comedy called Tooth Fairy, which I'm excited about.
Are you in this next film going to continue on your path to really challenge yourself so that people will see you in a way they haven't seen you before? Because, I mean, we've been talking to you for so long and watched you plot this course and actually do it really successfully. Because we see people do it, they do it, and then they pull back because they get freaked out. And you haven't done that. You continue to move forward and go, well, whatever, I'm doing it.
Sure.
So is that going to be the case in this Mountain movie, and then the one after that and after that?
Sure. Well, I think I understand your question. You're talking about growing.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. That's always the goal, and especially for me though too. You know, because when I first started acting in movies, I think it was in 2000. I didn't have. My background wasn't in theater, and my parents weren't movie executives, so I didn't have that connection, but I thought I did have pretty good instincts, and I loved the entertainment world, and I loved performing in the world that I came from, just in terms of television. That world allowed me, I think that benefited me greatly. Just that type of 4 hours of television every single week was my theater. I was able to perform in front of large audiences, 20, 30,000 people at times, really guerrilla-style way of shooting that we would shoot. The goal is to always grow, and the goal too is to always is to have a really large degree of of movies that go from genre to genre to different genres. You know, I love the idea of having the ability to go from action to drama to comedy to back to action comedy or back to drama, and hopefully find a little bit of success in all of these movies. And, you know, I think about actors who I really admire who have had that type of career that I aspire to have, like your Tom Hanks and your Will Smith and George Clooney, you know, and these guys who, you know, have a really wide foundation of work that they do. And you guys know those guys anyway. So, you know, I love the idea of having that ability. And you step up to the plate and you don't always smack home runs in terms of the box office success. Sometimes you do, sometimes you fail. But the goal for me is to be that type of actor and to continue to grow and entertain, you know, with a movie like Witch Mountain. Again, it's with Disney, you know, and I love that. I love the elements that, you know, we're able to combine a contemporary action movie, take some of my grittiness and intensity of the past that I've done in my action movies and combine it with elements, frankly, that I really love and appreciate, like family and heart and humor with a touch of fantasy. You know, I love that. And the Tooth Fairy, of course, is going to be a whole new different different experience, which is going to be great. And then after that, there's a couple of dramas, too, by the way, that we're developing. So maybe that's the case.
Is Tooth Fairy Disney, too?
No, Tooth Fairy is going to be at Fox.
Can you talk a little bit about Witch Mountain and who you play? And then also, what's your costume like for Tooth Fairy?
Are you the Tooth Fairy?
Absolutely. I am the Tooth Fairy. What's my costume like in Witch Mountain?
What's your costume like for Tooth Fairy?
Oh, you're like, forget the Witch Mountain question. Tell me about the Tooth Fairy.
Tell us a little bit more about Witch Mountain. How did they
really get it? Well, it's set now. It's a contemporary action comedy, action family adventure too, you could also call it. We set it in Vegas. And I'm a cab driver in Vegas, and of course the two kids with the powers, they get in my cab, and then the race is on. And we really treated the movie like a Disney ride. So from the moment you get on, the ride begins. It happens just like that, and hence the title, Race to Witch Mountain. We played around with a couple of titles. We wanted that title. It was very befitting for the movie, and there's really a relentless drive with the movie, and then it happens right away just in terms of the race. And, you know, for me, I love the idea of a guy who doesn't have much now, but he's made a lot of mistakes along the way. And he gets the opportunity to make a decision that is a very defining decision that happens to allow him to save the world.
Dwayne, could you talk a little bit about what you thought the coolest thing about the series was? If you had a favorite episode?
The coolest thing about the Get Smart series? Right. The coolest thing for me about the Get Smart series was always the comedy, and what I mean by that was always just a self-deprecating comedy. I love that, because even with the iconic character that Don Adams created, there was still a great sense of assuredness to him, and you know, he was a little bit arrogant too in his way, and of course it was always self-deprecating, but he would always get the job done too. He's very proficient as well.
Wasn't he really dumb?
See, I never thought he was dumb. That was the thing. My interpretation wasn't he was dumb. No. I thought that he was bumbling at times, you know, but he would still get the job done.
Were you attracted to Agent 99?
Who wasn't? Yeah. Sure. either of them. Well, because I know Annie now personally. I think, you know, Annie's great. She's beautiful and intelligent and... you know, she can kick ass too, so it's, you know, what I like in a woman.
Hi. Working with Steve Carell, and were you benefited from The Office, and were any of the scenes hard to do? Did you have lives? Were they hard to do because you were wrong?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I honestly, I never got Steve Carell's comedy, and it was just one of those things where... I'm only kidding. They're like, oh, really? No, I love Steve Carell. Of course, I was a big fan of the show. And I was a big fan of the original Office, too, with Gervais. But, Steve was great to work with. And the great thing is I think, we're all funny in our way. And merging all of us together on the set and in this movie was great. We all learned from each other. And all the dynamics really meshed well, and you guys know this because you cover all movies, but a lot of times when you get a lot of actors with different personalities, they don't always mesh that well, but I think everything meshed really well, and we just had a great time. They are, between Steve Carell and Alan Arkin, especially Alan Arkin, they're titans to me, and they were great to be around and great to learn from. It's like being around, your favorite professor or your favorite, your favorite family member who's just, your grandfather, so to, is telling you great stories. That's what those guys were. And Alan in particular, Steve was too as well, but Alan in particular, just very gracious, with his, not only with his comedy, but just very gracious with his time. Especially with me, because it was like, no, sit down, let me ask you questions. Like, really, geez, more questions. I'm like, yes. He's great, though.
Dwayne, you said at the very beginning that it's you and the director, that's how you get your job done here. Was there an equivalent to a director in your wrestling days for the acting you were doing there? And now, mm-hmm. all these years later, how did you actually make the crossover? Who helped you?
There was one particular guy, and who I've talked about. His name was Pat Patterson, who actually I modeled my the character and Be Cool after him. Very proud gay man, very funny guy, and he's like a father figure to me. So he was that guy. Where creatively we spent a lot of time together. And always making sure that, at the end of the day, I understood the value of just wanting to simply entertain and taking ego out of it. And I think when you approach anything like that and you take your ego out of it, since ego is a great inhibitor a lot of times of success, you take your ego out of it and you just approach it where I just want to entertain. And what's the best thing for the audience? How can I make the audience laugh? How can I make them angry? How can I make them, upset? And take them through a myriad of emotions. So between him and I also worked with a great writer too, who I consistently challenged, in that world, the great thing about that world, and this is where it really helped me, it benefited me, the great thing about that world was, just in terms of being creative in the writing, what was important to me was to always find humor in that world, because at that time there really wasn't a lot of humor in that world of heightened conflict, over the top conflict. So I just wanted to find humor. So in challenging him, what was great was we got to a point where I would say to him, "There's really nothing you can write that I think we can't make work." And I always think that that's a great place to be. It's a rare place to be, but in that world, somebody's tape recorder stopped. I think it's this one. But in that world, that was a great place to be. So that's why I would write just so much, and it would, and in front of 20,000-30,000 people, there's an acumen that you have to have that keeps you on your toes, because if the joke is phenomenal and it goes through the roof and 30,000 people love it, immediately. If it bombs and it completely stinks up the place and you need to get out of there, then you know that immediately too. And how did I make the transition? I just thought that making the transition was number one, surrounding myself with good actors. Even in my first role, The Scorpion King, we had Michael Clark Duncan, we had Grant Heslov, who's a great writer now too as well, Bernard Hill. We had some great actors and help, and a studio, I think, that supported me, and a good director too who's going to help me. And through that, I think that, and as long as I had to be fully prepared as I possibly could be. Not that I was going to deliver an Oscar-winning performance. I knew that that wasn't going to happen. But as long as I could be prepared and give the best performance I can give, then I had a shot at it being decent.
Who is the TV writer you were talking about?
His name is Brian Gewirtz, and he was from MTV, and he still writes a lot of my stuff today. He's just great. Great, very great, and edgy, and we're always trying to find that balance,
I'm sorry, sure. We have time for one more question.
I was just going to say, Dwayne, is that when you started with the Scorpion King, you were like this behemoth, and you seem to have downsized over the years, and this is obviously intentional. Was it because, as an actor, for versatility's sake,
Sure.
you just can't be this huge guy, you're limited to one type of part?
I think so, and I think, you know, there was just no need for me to carry all that weight, and a lot of that weight was from football. I played football for 10 years. I played football for 10 years and I wrestled for an additional 5, and you know, a lot of that weight was still there. And then once I got out of that and started changing my training around depending on the role, then eventually I just lost weight and kind of trimmed down a little bit.
Okay. Can you give us a little update if Shazam might actually be happening?
Yeah, I think so. Whenever you talk to Pete Siegel, ask him. Because I've been bothering him like every month. What's happening with it? You know, but on both ends, there's just so much going on. But I think they continue to write and rewrite that script. But I would love to. I'd love to play Black Adam.
So this is so you don't have any update as to?
Yeah, no, I wish I did. I don't. That's why I said if you talk to him, ask him. He probably has a better update on it.
And you didn't tell us your Tooth Fairy costume. Are you in a? What is it?
I want you to envision me right now. What would be the most funniest thing you could
like
possibly imagine?
I don't know.
G-string?
Think of it backwards, yes.
Works for me.
And me.
So inappropriate.
What can we say?
All right. Yeah. You know, and I will give you this. You know, the funny thing is, you know, I have a really bad shoulder injury in it, and one of the wings grows. One is a beautiful wing, and the other one is like a little, really messed up wing that doesn't quite grow correctly. It makes me fly around sometimes and fly into things. But it's really, really funny. We had some great writers on it. Randy Singer had written the last draft. It's been fantastic. The same producers of The Game Plan are on board now. Michael Limbeck's going to direct. And, you know, Fox, I'm happy to tell you, you know, they get it. They understand. You know, we're going after heart and humor. And again, a little touch of fantasy, which elements I like. And I'm excited about it. It's going to be funny.
How much did The Game Plan end up making? I mean, that's such a huge hit.
We made a great deal of money. It was really incredibly successful. We were happy. You know, it was a smaller movie that we made, and just hoping that it would find an audience. You know, we had great competition with The Kingdom and the following week, The Heartbreak Kid, but it was one of those movies that found touched a chord with a lot of audiences. And
will there be a sequel?
Not with that, but you know, we got the same director, Andy Fickman, who's doing, of course, Witch Mountain, who understands that. I think that great, unique sensibility of heart and family, and you know, again, touch of fantasy and everything that means, and humor too as well.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody.